Thank you so much for listening to or perhaps watching Elevated on Radio Pulpit. I am blessed to introduce to you now our guest for the day, a young man of God on fire for his kingdom and his people, Ubiwe Nkosana, serving as a youth leader at Ark Christian Center. He's, of course, under the leadership of senior pastor Kanisa Muhammad in King Williamstown, a minister of God's word whose heart is after, as I said, ensuring that a generation is equipped, particularly called to the youth with a deep passion for the issues of young people in the current societal context. I'm very, very interested in that. We'll get into a little bit more of the background and testimony of this powerful young man of God. Ubiwe, good day and welcome to Elevated.
Good day, ma'am. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. And I'm so excited to be here. And yeah, it's actually an honor to be a part of this. And I can't wait to hear what the conversation has in store for us.
Listen, I actually want to start with your own testimony before we get into the work that you're doing for God, not just in King Williamstown, but across the spectrum. Let's start with your own testimony. Perhaps if you were to choose the highlight so far, because it's an ever-evolving story of your testimony, what would that be?
I think my testimony, or the highlight of my testimony, I would say, is truly seeing the Lord's mercy on my life. Because I've got a background, I grew up in the church. My parents are born again, so I grew up in a Christian household. I never wanted to go to church as a young person, though. I remember always wanting to go to church just to sleep, because that wasn't my thing. You know, that's what I had in mind then. And when I got born again, back in high school, I remember we had a student Christian organization where we used to preach God's word every break time. This is now me, I think, 2 years as a believer. So we used to preach every break time. We would share the word with the young people at school. And then years later, being known as someone who was on fire for God then, being known as someone who was dedicated to the word of God then, years later, I backslid. And that's why I'm saying that my life is truly evidence of God's mercy, because I backslid. I started participating in things I used to preach against. I started standing for things I used to preach against. I was totally a different person. I just wanted to enjoy and have all the pleasures of this world. I'm dabbling in different things. And later on, I think 2 years after that, I backslid for about 2 years. And 2 years after that, one morning I got up coming from a club and I just started crying. My heart was broken. I was weeping, because at that moment I realized that for the past 2 years, I've truly been hurting God. And God does not find pleasure in the things that I'm doing, because I'm one person who once had a relationship with the Lord. And for these 2 years, I wasn't myself. I realized that, hey, I don't know who I am anymore. I don't have any sense of direction. I'm just living for fun. You know, I'm just living for the next party. I'm just living for the next relationship. I'm just living for the next gathering. And that's it. So I get up one morning, I'm weeping, I'm crying. I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry. And Lord, please have mercy upon me. And I think that's when the trajectory of my ministry started now afresh, where the Lord started to use me again. I started serving in the ministry again, and I was committed to the Lord once again. So I think that's why I'm saying that my life is a testament of God's mercy, how God can take one person from one extreme of wickedness, one extreme of pleasure, one extreme of addiction, you know, every addiction that you can think of, you know, and take that person, change them totally to falling in love with Him once again. So I think my life is a testament of God's mercy.
Uviwe, I must tell you, what an incredible testimony. And I think one that we can just get so much out of. I want to ask you about one aspect, which is a lot of people still find themselves stuck in that cycle. Backslidden, you're talking somebody who has served the Lord with so much zeal and passion. I mean, you led people to God. You preach the word of God. But now he might be finding himself, or she might be finding herself, still stuck in that cycle.
Yeah.
You shared that evening when you were coming from the club and the cycle was broken for you. You had an encounter with God. But I'm wondering whether you would be able to give any advice for somebody who feels that, hey, listen, I'm stuck in that cycle. I've backslidden. I've gone so far. I don't even have a desire to get out of it. I'm just stuck. What would you say to them?
I think one of the most important, especially for someone who's come to know the Lord first and they're now within the cycle, firstly, it's important. The Bible says that when our heart condemns us, we should know that God is greater than our hearts. Because when you find yourself in sin, it takes away your identity. One person who used to identify with holiness now identifies with shame. One person who used to identify with prayer now identifies with condemnation and guilt. And that's actually a pattern we see even in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. They ran away from the source of life. When God came and said, "Adam, where are you?" The Bible says that Adam ran and he hid himself. Adam never used to hide himself from God, but when sin came in the picture, he now identified with isolation. He used to identify with fellowship with God, but now identifies with isolation. And what I love about God is God still calls you even though he knows your very state. He does not change you to call you. That's why the Bible says, I think it's Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, that unto him, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin. This is what everyone needs to understand, that Jesus does not wash you to love you. He knows your value even in your dirt. He knows your value even in your backslidden life. That is why the Bible says, "He unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin." So people in that state need to be assured of God's love for them. That God does not give up on you even when you've given up on yourself. Because there were times where I was like, you know what? I think I'm never getting out of this. This is my new life. When you've identified with the life of sin, God still calls you. That is, I could make many examples even in scripture. You can talk about the prodigal son. The Bible says when the prodigal son came back to his senses and he decided to go back home, the Bible says that his father saw him from afar and ran out to go meet him, meaning that from the day the prodigal son left his father's house, his father has been anticipating the comeback. So from the day that you backslid, the father is anticipating your comeback and is willing to continue where you left him. That's the one thing I love about God, that in times where we are not faithful, he is willing to continue with us where we left him. He's willing to journey with us again where we left him, because he's a God of love and a God of mercy. So to anyone who might be in that cycle right now, know that God still calls you. And number two, he still loves you. And number three, he is willing to continue with you where you left him.
I'm listening to you and I'm realizing how important the message that you carry is specifically for the generation that you are speaking to through your ministry. Why is it so important that this message reaches young people? I mean, you see them, you work with them, you know what they go through. Why is it so important that this message of grace and love that it reaches this generation?
Number one is, I would say it's important because in the message of grace or in the message of the Lord's love, we find our identity, we find who we are, and we find our purpose. You can never know what God intends for you without the message of grace. You can never know what God wants to do through you without the message of grace. That is why we always highlight the importance of coming to know Jesus for him to reveal your true intent, because he is your creator. You will never find your sense of being by mingling with creation all the time, but at some point you need to mingle with the creator, because men might just give you a glimpse, or they will define you according to what they see, but God will define you according to what he created you for. So when we go back to the message, we go back to identity and we go back to purpose. When you get to know who Jesus is, he reveals to you what you ought to do and why he created you. That is why the Bible says that we in Romans 8, I think verse 28, somewhere there, it says, we are all created, predestined, called to be conformed to the image of his son. The primary call for every Christian is to conform to the image of who God is, that being the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the image is restored, we can now talk about the responsibility to serve others. So we preach the gospel because the gospel brings you the totality of who God is. You submit to that, and he now uses you to impact people in your own generation. Because God wants to use people at their youth. I mean, the Bible speaks about Samuel. It says the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord. It doesn't say the man Samuel. He was a young boy, but he learned how to minister to God. And look at how God used Samuel to anoint kings. He anointed men like David, but it started off with a young boy who was in the temple ministering to the Lord, learning the word of the Lord, and God used him to raise kings in Israel at that particular time. So the message brings about identity, and the message reveals your purpose to your generation.
You know, and you are serving your generation so well. I was looking at your social media. Your social media, you talk the likes of TikTok. You've got thousands and thousands of people following you on TikTok, for
All right.
instance. And sometimes you look at the followers, and one does not comprehend just how many people that is. I mean, they can't fit into a hall. You can't fit them into a church
That's
on a
true.
Sunday morning.
That's true.
It's
Yeah,
just too
that's
much.
true. Yeah.
Talk to me about how you took your calling, and you take your message that God has given you, and you translate it into something that is accessible and speaks to people via social media. Where did that journey start, and what is it that you believe God wants you to do with that platform?
Yeah. So this is going to sound a bit controversial, but for me, it never began by seeking platforms, or it never began by seeking followers. This is my belief. It may not be in scripture printed out exactly verbatim, but I believe that when you see something in God, people will see that in you and celebrate it. When you hear something from God, people will hear that from you. So my genuine pursuit was to see something in God. I want to know who God is before I can think about the platform, or before I can think about what he wants me to say to people. I want to know what he has to say to me, you know, because I honestly believe the message should first change you before you can deliver to the next person. Ministry is not something that is. Actually, if you look at how the Bible defines ministry, the Bible defines ministry as someone who is an errand boy or a water boy. It's nothing fancy, but you are on errand and you need to know what God has given you, the texture of what he has given you, and what it is that he has truly entrusted you with before you can give it to the next generation. So my pursuit was to know him. I want to know who God is. I want to know what he has done for me. I want to know what he has achieved for me on the cross. And I want to know why God loved such a backslidden person. Why God loved such a person who was filled with so many addictions. Like, Lord, what is it about your love that sees beyond darkness? What is it about your love that sees value in brokenness? You know, and if you can make me, then please make me. If you can make me a man of prayer, make me a man of prayer. If you can make me a man of the word, make me a man of the word. And then, as a result of that cry, God begins to use you to benefit other people. Because I honestly believe the Lord does not want to put you on platforms before he makes you. That is why when he was speaking to Peter, he said, "Peter, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." Before you can go out to be valuable to men, I have to make you. And we need to trust God in the process that, Lord, I'm here, make me. The platform can wait. The making is much more important. The followers can wait. The making is much more important. Because if I'm not made, my fall will be before a greater audience.
Come
If
on.
I'm not made, my mistakes will be before a greater audience. So before the platform, before the followers, Lord, please make me a lover of you. Make me someone who loves you so much that the platform does not matter, that the likes don't matter, you know? So you are priority before the people who follow me. I think that's a very important mindset. Yeah.
I absolutely love this. And I must say, I get
Yeah.
so excited. I'm listening to you and I'm just so excited at what God is doing. I just
Oh,
love it every
man.
week when I speak to his people and I'm like, wow, God, you're doing something.
Yeah.
Every corner
Yeah.
of the earth, he has
Yeah.
his people. And I'm
Yeah.
listening to the depth of word in you as well. And Uviwe, you were just talking about your social media journey earlier.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, do you feel pressure when you put Christian content on social media? Do you feel pressure to be accurate? Do you feel pressure, to make sure that you've heard from God, that what you want to say is in line with his word? Because once it goes viral, it's out there
Yeah.
and people
Yeah.
follow you, they believe you, they trust you.
Yeah.
Do you feel that kind of pressure?
I think it's not pressure of what people will say, rather it's pressure of taking God out of context. It's the fear of taking God's word out of context, you know, because when imagine we just as human beings don't like it when people take what we say out of context. I mean, if I quote you right now and say, she said A, B, and C, and you're like, that's not what I said, that's not what I
Don't
meant. So
be
yeah.
lying on my name. Don't be lying on my
Exactly,
name.
exactly. So if we as human beings don't like being taken out of context, how much more God? You know, I believe this is my opinion. I believe there are times where God is listening to certain sermons and he's like, what are you saying? That's not what I said. That is not what I meant. Or when we are preaching on Paul's epistles and Paul is like, no, you've got the whole thing wrong, you know? So that's the only pressure that I can think of. I don't want to be a young Christian who takes God's word out of context. I believe that is what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that the 3,000 people who got saved in the book of Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in fellowship. They continued in the breaking of bread, and they continued in prayers. It's important that before we can stand to teach, it's important to sit down and learn. We've got a generation that is excited to teach because they've received revelation. But there are times where it's important to sit down and learn. And maybe to make it more clearer, when Jesus speaks to the disciples and he says, who do men say that I am? And the disciples begin to give multiple answers. And then he says, who do you say that I am? And then Peter comes up and he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. We know that. And then it continues to the last verse. It says, but Jesus told them that tell no man this. They got a revelation. They got an understanding of who Jesus is. But Jesus said, wait, don't tell men about it. Let the message simmer in you first. Know the details and the crux of the message before you can deliver it to the people. Know the context. It's important that you know what this message is, what this message entails, how it can be received, and what it means for your future. So that you know everything about the message, then you will not quote God wrongly, or you will not misquote what God has said. So for me, that's the pressure that I can think of. I don't want to take God's word out of context
Context.
because I know we love good sermons, exciting sermons, but the fact that it is exciting doesn't mean it was preached from the right context. So when you care about who Jesus is, you also care about what people say about him and what you say about him. So I never want to take God's word out of context.
I love that. And we'll get
Yeah.
back in a moment to the leadership that you serve under and how that grooms you in a moment.
Sure.
But I
Yeah.
just want to take you back to something that you mentioned, and you repeated it quite a few times during our conversation when you make reference to your own testimony. You speak of addiction. You keep
Oh,
speaking of your experience with addiction. And I want you to perhaps just zoom into that part of your testimony. I'll tell you why, because when we look at what the enemy is using to destroy lives at the moment, addiction is one of his key weapons that he's using. So what's your experience with that? Maybe if you don't, if you're comfortable
My
with sharing
goodness.
it.
No, I'm quite comfortable. So I was addicted to alcohol. I was addicted to porn as well. I used to dabble in all these things. I remember we actually talk about it with my brother Unako, when we laugh about it all the time. We're like, how did we have money every weekend to drink? Because there was
Goodness.
just money available to drink every weekend. So I was addicted to alcohol. I was in multiple relationships. I was in all of that. I know what that looks like. I know the texture of what that looks like, and I know what it can do to your soul, especially as one who has experienced God. You know, that thing causes war within your soul. Youthful passion, youthful lusts cause war within your soul. And number two, they make you believe God can never restore you. You know, in those moments where you are like, okay, I want to stop, but whenever I try to stop, I get back to the cycle again. That thing makes you believe that you can never be restored by God. You know, being addicted to alcohol, being addicted to parties, being addicted to all of that, it makes you believe that God can never restore you. Or you end up believing that it's not true when Christians say they are restored. So it's a very dangerous mindset that addiction brings to a believer. And you can trace this to the Garden of Eden, that when Adam and Eve were instructed by God, you can eat of every tree that is in the garden, but don't eat of this particular tree. Then the serpent comes in the picture and says, did God really say that you shouldn't eat of this tree? So we see that sin, shame is introduced by putting doubt on God's word. When you are not certain about what God says, you are on the way to compromise. When you are certain about what God says, you are on your way to change. That is why I will always highlight the importance of meditating on God's word and speaking God's word, because that's the way to change. Meditate on who Jesus is, meditate on what Jesus has done, because the addiction is there to take away your simple devotion toward Jesus Christ. And the key in killing addiction is your devotion to Jesus Christ. Because when the serpent came in the picture, what was forbidden by God became attractive to Eve. Because I remember when I first dabbled into these things, I knew God does not want this. But there was an appetite and a curiousness within me that maybe I can control it. I will drink, but I won't get drunk. You know, I'll be in one relationship and I'll just maintain this until we get married. Those were multiple relationships, by the way. So, when sin comes in the picture, when the serpent begins to whisper to you, what is forbidden by God becomes attractive to your eye, and you think it is satisfying to your soul, but it's not. That is why I'm emphasizing going back to the scriptures, knowing what Jesus achieved for you, believing that and confessing it, speaking that until you see it. Because as you do that, your mind is being renewed. That is what the Bible says. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewal of your mind. So, young person, you who is addicted, you who is in shame, you who has backslidden, it is possible to be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the word of God. It's possible.
Uviwe, thank you so much for sharing and doing it so vulnerably and with so much power. I have to ask you though, you mentioned porn addiction. We'll get into that. You mentioned alcohol addiction, and then you mentioned being addicted to parties. I found that so interesting. How does somebody know that I'm addicted to parties? Because you can just be feeling like, you know what, I'm just living my life. This is me. It's nice time. This is my time. I'm young. I've got my strength. I need to be enjoying myself. But how do you know that you've become, or what do you mean by the fact that you've become addicted to a lifestyle of parties? Because I think many of us might be in that situation and you don't even know it.
So I'll make it very clear. For me, you know you're addicted when you can't say no. You know, when you feel like you owe your body the desires it keeps on bringing up within you. your body, I mean, we all have fleshly desires, we all have fleshly lusts, but when they always come and you can't say no, then you know that this thing is now lord over you. When it always comes, and I mean, it comes against your will at times, you know, this thing is now lord over me. I want to do good, but I can't. I always want to satisfy my flesh. I always want to satisfy the imaginations in my mind. I always want to satisfy the feeling of being around people, being around the music. I always want to satisfy that. Then you know that your body is lord over you. You are subject to to the members of your body. So you know it's an addiction when you always feel like I have to satisfy this desire. And let me say this, desires come to Christians as well. Desires come to people who are speaking in tongues, to people who are praying, to people who are fasting as well. But here's the thing now, for that person, when the desire coming, it's not a the desire does not validate having to do the deed. That's the difference. So for me, who is mature in the Lord, who is growing in the Lord, I know this desire, when it comes, it does not automatically mean I should concede, I should subside, you know. But for the other person who is addicted, when the desire comes, they automatically want to give in. So if you are being controlled by it, it has become your Lord. When the desire comes, you make plans. How can I go to my friends? How can I do this? Because it's now Lord over you. But when you grow in Christ and the desire comes, you begin to speak God's word. You go to your company because I believe in community. You can't do this thing alone. You speak to your friends that, hey, gents, I've got this desire within me. Let's go out. Let's do something that is, you know, that is Christ-like. Because as Christians, we also go out, okay? We don't drink, we don't party, we don't, but we also go out to have fun in a very Christ-like manner, okay? So you know you're addicted when that passion and that lust becomes Lord over you and you just can't say no.
Well, let's speak freedom now then. You mentioned porn addiction as well. Another thing that I don't find men speaking about in church, you don't really find men coming to stand on a Sunday and testify and say, I was addicted to porn. This is how the Lord broke the, this is how the Lord helped me to break free. Just briefly, if you were to speak on freedom, whether it is from any addiction and in your experience, porn addiction specifically as well, how would you advise somebody to do that? What helped?
Firstly, you need to understand that you realizing you are addicted is part of the healing process, because freedom may not be instant for everyone. There are people who testify and say, I got born again and everything. I never had the appetite. I never had the desire. I never had nothing. And that's true. And it's biblical. It's good. But there are those who say, I'm born again. I don't want to do this thing, but I find myself doing it. You knowing that it is wrong is part of the process to freedom.
Amen.
Because what is a temptation to the Christian is an opportunity to the non-believer. Non-believers don't have the struggle. I mean, to them, it's lifestyle. The fact that it's a struggle with you is proof that you are born again. It's proof that you are a child of God. And many people need to understand that, that the fact that you feel guilty, the fact that you feel bad, it's good because it's proof that you are now God's child. And now we work towards, like, it shouldn't just end there, you know, that it's good that you feel bad. But also there's a balance to it. When you keep on doing it, you are feeding it. Yeah, when you keep on dabbling into those things, you are feeding it. That's why I think Colossians 3 verse 5, it says, deprive of power your fleshly desires. When you see people going off social media, changing their music, changing the movies they watch, even the books that they read, that's part of the pro. It's practical things you do. Because you know, you get on Facebook, you get on Instagram, you get on Twitter, you know what your eyes are exposed to. And the Bible says, deprive of power. So, as a Christian, you've got the grace within you to deprive of power. When you no longer go to those friends, you are depriving of power, that addiction. When you no longer tune in the Instagram, you are depriving of power. When you lessen your exposure to maybe alcohol or to how women dress or anything like that, you are depriving of power, a lust within you. And you replace that. You don't just deprive of power, you deprive of power and become a part of a community. You have to replace that. So now that you're no longer doing this, what are you doing? Because you are no longer doing this to deprive of power, but what are you doing to gain mastery over that? You build a community, you build a prayer life, you have study groups, you have accountability. That's why you've got leaders that you can speak to about it. And you begin to pray, and the Lord will help you throughout the journey.
Speaking of leaders, I must say, just having this conversation with you today, Uviwe, it tells me so much about Pastor Kanyisa Mohammed. It tells me so much about our Christian Center in King Williamstown, where you are serving, you are representing them so well, and it speaks volumes of the teachings, etc. You're traveling the continent of Africa, ministering the word, you are hosting and creating dialogues. As we conclude our conversation, just briefly tell people what it is you do and how they can support you.
So I use my social media mostly for reaching out to different people. I think I don't like saying it, but I think I'm becoming an itinerant minister. I'm going to different churches by invitation and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think this started when we used to host Bible studies with my brother. And I'm one person who loves the culture of Bible study. You know, as I said in the beginning, we've got so many exciting sermons on the pulpit, but when you go to scripture, you realize, hey, that's not what the Bible actually says. So I think with a desire within me and a burden within me to bring the proper articulation of God's word, it has led to the ministry today. You know, going to different places, going to a couple of countries to minister God's word to people. The Bible speaks about how that we need to rightly divide the word of truth, meaning it's possible to divide, but you're dividing it wrongly. That's why the Bible is emphasizing that you have to rightly divide the word of truth. And I obviously do nothing without accounting to my seniors. I speak to my pastor about it. She knows everything that I do. It's always apart from her knowing everything that I do, but she's a covering to me, you know, having to pray whenever we go to these different places. Because many people at times, especially young people in ministry, we think because we know how to dissect scripture, we can quote so many scriptures, we think we don't need the covering from our seniors. Because we're like, our seniors don't know the culture today. I'm not that type of person. I understand the importance of authority. I understand the importance of rankings in the spirit. So I submit to leadership. They know all my whereabouts, and they are obviously there to pray for me and to bring forth guidance in how the message is ministered.
I love that, Uvi. We're looking forward to hearing more of your ministry, seeing how God is going to use you. And you're doing an amazing job. It was great to share some of your testimony today. Thank you so much. If people want to follow you on social media, remind them of those handles and where they can get this word.
Amen. So I'm available on Instagram, Uviwe underscore Nkosana. I'm also available on Facebook, Uviwe Nkosana is, I think, Uviwe underscore Nkosana, and on TikTok as well, Uviwe underscore Nkosana. Those are the three platforms I use: Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
I've got 1 minute left and I want to ask you, is there anything, what's next for you in terms of whether it is family? Are you seeing books? Are you seeing, like, what is the Lord showing you for you? Just in a minute.
All I'm going to say is wherever the Lord leads, I'll find myself there. So
And
whatever that the Lord instructs me to do, I will definitely do at the right particular time.
Listen, we will find you there as well. We're going to follow you. We're going to
Amen.
support you.
Amen.
Thank you so much for sharing. And as I said, the Lord bless you and use you
Thank you.
mightily. Use you mightily. Thank you so much.